Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back once again to another edition of the Come Out of Her My People show. I'm your host, Mark Hall. As you hopefully know by now, this is a show where we talk about any number of aspects of that admonition from Revelation 18:4 that says precisely that. Come out of her, my people. Do not participate in the sins so that hopefully, prayerfully, we will not partake of the plagues. As I've said for a while now, all of that is increasingly obvious to the point where, honestly, I don't think it's deniable anymore. The question is just, how hard are they going to make it? How difficult it is for people to do it? And what excuses do we have for not following through at this point? They are no doubt legion, and I'm going to suggest this week, and this is kind of the focus of the show I want to do today, that things are coming to a head. It's not like we haven't seen it. It's just that there are now so many elements that are coming to a head at different rates, but all of them seem to be coming to a head almost simultaneously. Some have taken longer. Others will no doubt happen really quickly, but here we are. And depending upon, you know, what alarmist kinds of things you're listening to, I'm hearing dates from, well, essentially about now through the end of the month, through the first part of October. And as you know, if you just simply look at cyclical events in history, things like stock market crashes, well, October is kind of a bad month. There are a lot of reasons for that, having to do with cycles and year-end situations and so forth. But ultimately, no doubt about it, even if you aren't a conspiracy theorist, if you're just a fact-oriented person, there are a lot of things clearly coming to a head that we need to be aware of. Let me start with this one. This is kind of one that will, I hope, at least get people to sit up and take notice. I'm certainly hearing a little bit of maybe even alarmism on this score. Coming up October 4th, that's just a little over a week away, FEMA, oh, the good buddies there that are always trying to help you be prepared, yeah, sure. FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, Achtung, is going to push a mass alert across the nation. Anytime you see some kind of a federal plan to do something on a particular date, you can usually suspect there's an ulterior motive. Matter of fact, if you don't, you arguably haven't been paying attention. Anyway, they're going to push this alert across the nation on every television, smartphone, radio, and probably toaster oven. And it's going to report something like the following. This is the USA Today story from about several weeks back. It'll say, this is a nationwide test of the emergency alert system issued by the Federal Emergency Management Agency covering the United States from 1420 to 1450 hours Eastern Time. This is only a test. No action is required by the public, unquote. Yeah, any action that needs taken, don't worry. We've probably already taken it. Is your cell phone infected? Does it have back doors? Well, you already know the answer to that question. It's yes. The question is, are they planning on putting even more in there? And the answer is, they're not going to tell you about that until it's too late. So I'm going to suggest, even though I take a little bit of this somewhat tongue-in-cheek, that there are reasonable precautions people would want to take. I know a lot of folks that say simply, I'm going to turn my cell phone off. Well, as you probably know, that ain't good enough. If you're really worried about it, you got to do something more than that. And don't worry, you probably can't even take the battery out because they have engineered the cell phones. The specs have been this way for years to the point where you can take the battery out. They can still listen. They can still activate it remotely. And no doubt they can still install whatever they want to remotely as well. So if you know what a Faraday bag is, one of these little enclosures you put it in, maybe put it inside a microwave oven, if nothing else, or a steel trash can with a good solid lid on it, turn it off. There are ways to try to protect yourself. I'm not suggesting people get all wrapped around the axle about that, but if it bothers you, and if you're not bothered, you probably have to ask why. But if it bothers you, there are certainly simple things you can do. Bottom line is this. Understand that it's happening. Understand that there are more and more things like this that are coming together right about now. And if nothing else, it's a time to be extra vigilant. So that's the main thing I will encourage. There are going to be some other elements around this that we'll probably touch on as I go through some of the not necessarily directly physically related, but certainly when it comes to an understanding situation they're related, that we'll talk about today as well. How about this one? This story came from Ethan Huff via Natural News, and it says that the Biden Fuhrer Achtung, somebody put a piece of paper in front of him, he put his X on the line, And he has now established an executive order. Hell, we don't need the stinking Congress, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the concept of a legislative process to do anything anymore. He has established by tyrannical edict the American Climate Corps to fight non-existent man-made global warming. Yep, a new executive order to establish a climate brown shirt operation, says Huff, the job of which will be to fight something that actually doesn't even exist. If you're paying attention, you probably recognize that while there is real climate change, has been since before there was real mankind on the planet, there certainly are elements of this that are not man-made. Matter of fact, most of them. What elements are man-made are things that they're doing deliberately, often in the name of climate change, to destroy, to hurt, rather than to do anything productive. I'm talking about geoengineering, chemtrails, poisoning the skies, you name it, folks. Lots of bad stuff. But guess what? The claims that they're going to fix it with these brown shirts is just another lie. Anyway, the Biden crime family big guy is ordering billions more U.S. taxpayer dollars to be spent on training more than 20,000 Americans. Training is not the right word, folks. Indoctrinating more little brown shirt, as Rush Limbaugh, the late Rush Limbaugh, used to say, skulls full of mush. The initiative calls for a new diverse generation to fight the climate change booga, 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 MacGuffin, as some call it. And these woke eco-warriors are going to be tasked with focusing on efforts like conservation, clean energy, which means no energy for you, and environmental justice projects. Wow, the mind boggles at that one, right? Environmental justice. If it's as idiotic as the other justice things you're doing, probably it'll end up killing people. You know, there are all kinds of things you might expect, but basically, once they have completed their service to the Biden Führer and the gods of climate change and global warming, they'll be funneled into new jobs in both the public and private sectors. There's no such thing as a private sector anymore. There are merely public-private partners that take the fiat cash and then owe their fealty to, guess what? Their public-private masters. I'm not going to read the crap here in this White House statement, but basically there is, well, I'll read a little bit of it because I want to add the part that they somehow managed to leave out. The American Climate Corps says is a new initiative that will work on a wide range of projects to tackle climate change, restoring coastal wetlands to protect communities, deploying clean energy, managing forests to improve health. Now, I read that and I'm thinking, what? Remember the recent Bill Gates initiative we've talked about? How about clear-cutting forests and burying trees? I don't doubt that that might be a real part of it. Isn't it funny that the same eco-terrorists that a few years ago were putting spikes in trees to prevent them being cut down are today signing off on the idiocy that says, oh, they put carbon into the atmosphere, therefore we have to bury them. We can't even use them to make homes for the homeless or any of the kind of stuff that once would have been a leftist liberal wet dream. How far have they come over the cliff? All of this essentially is helping to make the same point. There is stuff that is going on that is just plain not just idiotic anymore, not counterproductive, but absolutely beyond insane. I like the comment here that Huff puts at the end. You needn't have any prior experience in fighting global warming to join the American Climate Corps, said the White House. All you got to do is tout the global warming dogma and agree to obey orders. Voila, you too can be a woke eco-warrior. And there are some states that are also signing up to do similar stupid things from Arizona, Maryland, Minnesota, North Carolina, and Utah. Nothing there is any surprise. But again, what I want to point out is, no matter where you turn, it seems, we are seeing these so-called initiatives. We're seeing things that people say, oh, that sounds really good. That must be important. And yet, if they actually paid attention, they would realize that all of these initiatives to fight global warming are going to end up ultimately starving them, causing them to freeze in their own homes. Oh, yeah, and they're going to have to stay in their own homes because they won't have an internal combustion engine car. They won't have gasoline. They won't have LP or natural gas once all of this gets put into place. And they won't even have a vehicle that they can charge because the grid will be brown and drowned out, the roving blackouts. They're even talking in California about being able to discharge people's cars overnight because they need to be able to stabilize the grid, which can't handle the number of electric cars they've already got. In other words, folks, over and over again, all you have to do is just have a little understanding of numbers. No wonder they don't teach this in school anymore, to realize this is just plain stupid. They cannot, that is the physical term I want to make sure we understand, cannot do what they claim needs to be done. Well, unless you realize that what has to go along with getting electric cars for the people that are allowed to travel is understanding most aren't going to be allowed to travel. As a matter of fact, most will eat bugs before they starve to death. They won't be allowed to have a home. They might not have any property. They're telegraphing their move. There's nothing here that we haven't already seen that isn't being made clear. Now, what actually kind of prompted me to look at some of the things I want to talk about for the rest of the show today was a story. It was an article that I saw on a forum that I occasionally look at online. And this has to do with biblical principles and so forth. And somebody dug up, it turns out, an article that was dated 2001, so 2001, over 20 years old, and it had to do with genetically modified frankincorn. Well, I've talked about genetically modified frankincorn and other genetically modified not foods for as long as I've been doing this show and all the news shows here on this network. All right, this one, though, was a piece from The Guardian, which is a leftist rag out of UK. Scientists have created the ultimate GM crop. It says contraceptive corn. Yeah, waving fields of maize may one day save the world from overpopulation. See, they're telegraphing their move. This is a pregnancy prevention plant that is being engineered by a biotech company in San Diego called Epicyte, where researchers have discovered a rare class of human antibodies that attack sperm. So just like what we've been seeing done with not vaccines and mRNA, they are manufacturing plants that are going to produce, no, not the COVID spike proteins, but little antibodies that will create contraceptives. And even if you don't know about it, they're going to be out there. Said the president, we have a hothouse filled with corn plants that make anti-sperm antibodies. And they got other good things that they're going to do as well. And guess what? They may not even tell you about it. What's interesting, and the point that I made about this online was, this is over 20 years ago. And most people simply don't have any clue how long this has been going on. One of the questions that was asked, well, gee, how long has this stuff been in circulation? Answer, the GMO'd frankincorn has been around for decades. Monsanto, I remember doing these stories back before I was even on this network, was suing farmers then, both in Canada and the United States. No, not for having their land contaminated. These were farmers that said, I want to grow real corn. And what did Monsanto do? Well, they came and they checked out their farm and they said, look, you have corn that has been contaminated. They didn't use that word, as you might suspect. It's been contaminated with our patented genes, our technology. So we're going to charge you for it. The farmer said, I don't want it. I'm not paying for it. And they sued him. And guess what? They won. You will pay for it. Ha ha, we've got you. Now, this would be a violation of every principle of common law if we still had that. And so basically what you had here is a company that was suing innocent people for having allowed their farms to be contaminated by the crap they were selling and people were actually paying for. That was decades ago. And as I have pointed out, and many people that I've interviewed and talked to here on this network have pointed out, the mRNA gene mods, the things that are being put into, but not limited to, the not vaccines, they go way back too. And now they're actually saying that this is going on, so that means it's not only been going on, it's a done deal. They're incorporating these into vegetables. We heard about mRNA injections being given to pigs and then later cows for a long time. So the question, the point is, what does all this mean? As some other folks are aware, 90% of all corn, 90% of all soy, canola, and a whole bunch of other products, not products anymore, not plants anymore, because they don't actually meet the biblical definition of plant. They don't propagate according to their own kind. They're just poison. Anyway, 90% of the crops that are grown that are licensed seed varieties are genetically modified frankenfoods. If you aren't buying organic, if you're not buying something that you know is clean, you can rest assured it's not. So more and more people, and this is part of the message that I want to make sure we understand today, grow your own food. And by the way, if you realize, and I would certainly say the more you try to understand this, the more clear it gets, you really can't. It's almost impossible. We've been working at it here on our little off-grid place. Now, admittedly, we don't live in the Midwest where there's quite as much rain or rich soil. It's a bit tougher at 9,000 feet. But still, even those like Mike Adams who lived in Ecuador said, you can grow a lot of stuff. You stick a stick in the ground, it grows. You still have a heck of a hard time growing enough food yourself to feed yourself and your family. Now, it's not that it's impossible, but the point is, if you understand all the other threats that are out there, you better realize you're going to need help. You're going to have a community and the ability to say, okay, I'll trade you my my chicken eggs for your vegetables that you grew in the garden. So it's not only a matter of grow your own food, and given the number of crops that aren't crops anymore, frankenfoods out there, that especially is true of things like sugar beets too. If you don't grow it, you don't want to eat it. Or at least if you don't know somebody, know the person who did grow it and trust them, then don't eat it. And as I mentioned, it's not simply a matter of saying, oh, I can buy organic, for now that has worked. But Big Brother is even now changing the definition of organic. Remember when they did it to vaccines? These things that they're injecting to people, they're not really vaccines. Well, they are, because they said, we've redefined the word. Vaccine doesn't mean what it used to. Ha ha, aren't we clever? Organic doesn't mean what it used to either. We can now fix it so that we can call it whatever the hell we want. And if you're not real careful, you'll eat it and you'll think it's not hurting you. And you'd be wrong. So there you go. All of these things are warnings, and they're very clear warnings. I have also pointed out, look and see what the Bible says. Hosea 4:6 is one of these warnings for those that have eyes to see. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because somebody suggested, well, if we just pray over the food, that'll take care of it, right? No, the Creator says it's not enough that you, just think you're doing the right thing. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How about this one from Proverbs? It's actually in there twice. A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple passed on, and they are punished. So, it is incumbent on us, folks, to at least be paying attention, not only know the times and the seasons, but recognize that there are people out there that are trying very hard. Matter of fact, they're succeeding at killing a whole lot of people. They're doing some very evil things. And so one of the things that I want to do today is talk about a few of those evil things. Some of them we can't really do anything about other than, well, what? The theme of the show, come out of her and recognize it and begin to build communities. And as I've pointed out for a long time, all of these things interact. In other words, you can't just come out physically. You have to come out economically. You have to come out spiritually. You need to have every available tool to build a community, come out and be separate from all the crap that's going on that eventually leads to the mark of the beast. But even before that, they are going to dumb people down, take away their kids, poison them, destroy their immune systems, make them vulnerable, in other words, so that when the time comes to take the mark, most of them won't even know enough, won't even have the two brain cells to rub together anymore to say no. So with that in mind, I'm going to spend a few minutes. This is kind of a little bit of a nerdy piece. I'm going to try to make it as he does, as simple as possible. I'm going to cut over some of the pieces that I think go into too much inside baseball. But this is a piece from Dr. Robert Malone. Now, he is essentially credited with being the inventor of the mRNA. And as he puts it himself, he has taken the red pill and has gotten to the point where he just simply knows, hey, don't believe anything that Big Brother says anymore. So this guy is a former liberal, part of the system that has pretty well come out, at least in an intellectual sense. But as I go through the piece, you'll see where there's one or two places in this article that he co-wrote with another fellow that maybe seem to suggest he's still got a bit of a ways to go. Okay, the article is called Liquid Nanoparticles and mRNA Shots. Did you take them without even knowing what was in them? And it came from his Substack, so it's publicly available. He's got some drawings in here. You can't see the drawings, but basically it has to do with what are called lipid nanoparticles. Now, what are lipids? Nanoparticle just means something that's really, really small. And lipids essentially have to do with the carbon compounds, in other words, carbohydrates, things that are made like the building blocks of life. We're all carbon, remember? That's why they want to get rid of carbon. That are in fats. Now, that's oversimplification, but here you go. So, again, as we go through this, I'll try to do what he does to simplify it perhaps even a bit more than he does. In response to the worldwide spread of the COVID-1984 so-called virus, disease caused by, you know what, SARS-CoV-2, at least that's what they're telling us. There have been a number of pseudo-mRNA gene therapies. These products were rapidly developed and deployed as prophylactic vaccines, he said. Now, in contrast to the recombinant viral gene therapy-based vaccines, like those developed by Janssen or J&J and AstraZeneca, these products, these RNA products, employ, now here you go, non-viral self-assembling lipid nanoparticle, or LNP technology. So that's what LNP stands for, lipid nanoparticle, to deliver genetic information coding to make, literally turn people immune, turn their immune systems into spike protein factories in the cells of a patient. Each of these complicated combination products, which include both a biological component, that's the RNA, and a complex new ingredient, that's the lipid nanoparticle, were brought to market by private big pharma companies, and they were put together at, you know it, warp speed. Even though, historically, new vaccine development has taken decades for discovery, research, testing, review, and yes, what was once called the approval process by the so-called regulatory agencies that, get this, people once believed were supposed to be about protecting your health. Yeah, sure. See, this is part of the problem. It is a sick joke now to say that the FDA is protecting anybody's health. They're killing people, folks. They're mandating injections, folks. They're telling people, hey, pilots, you had better take it. You can fly an airplane, and if you die in flight, well, maybe there's a co-pilot there. And if not, hey, that's the way the airplane crumbles. In other words, if you get the impression your host is kind of PO'd at things that were once called FAA regulations that were supposed to protect the flying public, that now basically say, to hell with the flying public, kind of like the FDA is doing, we have every right to be mad as hell at the lies we've been fed. Now, that is part and parcel of what we're talking about today, and it's why I encourage, you know, again, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We had better understand at least a bit about what's going on. Okay, well, back to Robert Malone. There have been a number of doctors, like Peter McCulloch, too, has come out and said some pretty nasty things about the not vaccines, like they should be removed from the market. Anyway, the whole idea of safety and effectiveness and testing was scuttled. The overall process, which normally took decades, was condensed to less than 1 year. Previously sacrosanct regulatory and scientific standards developed over decades were discarded in favor of the EUA, emergency use authorization, for this completely novel, that means it's never been stuck into human beings before, and barely tested mRNA-based injections. They were labeled vaccines, although, you know they lied about that, they're not vaccines. They're remarkably different, says the doctor here, from all other actual vaccines, available products, and the haste and regulatory compromises enabled by the lax EUA requirements yielded products with high rates of avoidable serious adverse events. We all know this. People are dying like flies. They include hospitalizations, permanent disabilities, deaths. The VAERS system, once still reports it. CDC had something called the V-Safe reporting system, which has now been scuttled. And ultimately, he says, this abbreviated testing has led to a substantially greater contemplative pause. Well, no, it hasn't. It should have. And that's the problem. When people start dying after a new product is introduced, back when they really cared about people and health, they would have said, hey, withdraw that. People are dying. Stop it. Now, they don't. And not only that, Dr. Malone says they should have paused the vaccine mandates from federal officials. No, here's where I'll say there's still a little bit of liberalism left in the man. These things were absolutely unconstitutional to begin with. There was no way in hell, if we had a constitutional republic, a rule of law, that any mandate should say to anybody, you have to take this or else. The mere fact that we had a constitution would have prohibited it back when we did. So he says, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. It's obvious that anybody familiar with either the scientific method or investigative medicine or the regulatory process could have predicted what ultimately did occur. There's a number one reason for the clinical failure of investigative medicines. It's drug safety. In other words, when we had a regulatory agency that was supposed to protect public health, if a drug wasn't safe, they stopped it. Still, the government discarded established norms for testing, and they rushed these products into the market and into people's arms, and in the process, he says, and this should be funny, folks, but it really isn't, they have damaged public trust. Gee, do you think? And we'll pick it up right there when we get back.
But the devil's pound. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing on the wall.
We are back, folks. This is the Come Out of Her My People show. I'm your host, Mark Call, and I'm spending just a few minutes today in the middle part of the show here going through a piece that admittedly is a bit inside baseball, some technical information concerning the Zyklon B injections, as I like to call them. He doesn't use that terminology, but he does talk about lipid nanoparticles and mRNA shots. Did you end up taking something without knowing what's in it? And what's interesting to me is there are a number of elements here that he doesn't even have the time in a relatively lengthy article to talk about. Like, for example, there's no mention of the graphene structures that seem to be in some, but maybe not all, of the various Zyklon B injections. And one of the elements that people will talk about is those people who have been damaged by the vaccine injections because of all the things he is, in fact, going into some detail about here. But he doesn't talk about one other element that I think is vitally important. As a matter of fact, it has affected me personally, as many listeners know. And that is that people who take the Zyklon B injection and they reprogram their body's immune system to produce these spike proteins. We now see more and more research that says for years, maybe forever. And maybe it has some really adverse consequences. Not just to them. That's the problem. If somebody wants to take the spike protein and commit vaccicide, fine. Okay, I'm not going to stop them. They're probably too stupid to be stopped anyway. But wait a minute. When they begin producing these spike proteins and they're shedding them all over the place, they're the ones who complain, oh, you're a threat to me by not taking the Zyklon B poke. And the answer, the real point is, you idiot, you're shedding this crap all over the place. You are, in fact, a spreader of the very stuff that was the bioweapon to begin with. So people need to be at least a little bit more informed about what it is that they're being angry about when they are angry for the wrong reasons. They need to look in the mirror and say, I'm the one that took the stupid injection. I'm the one that's shedding here. Why am I concerned with somebody else not wearing a mask? Because, oh, yeah, by the way, they're shedding this through the masks and through their skin and everything else anyway. As a matter of fact, I don't think they even know all the mechanisms because, remember, they weren't really tested. And when they were caught, the various agencies here, including the public-private partners that push this on a gullible public, are still trying to delay the details of what's in this stuff and of all the testing that wasn't done, the testing that was done that should have never been released for 75 years. Dr. Malone's going to get around to that too. Okay, when we went to break, he says the problem is the fact that they basically short-circuited all the regulations and things that had been developed over decades in order to assure public health has in fact damaged public trust in government and regulatory authority integrity. And all I can do to that is laugh, guffaw, you know, disgustedly. Because any public that trusts in any of these agents is in fact stupid, gullible, and in a lot of cases, dead. Policies and practices, says Dr. Malone, based on decades of lessons learned from prior product development failures, were jettisoned with little discussion and basically no justification. Now, here's a paragraph I think is interesting. I'm going to fix it. Going forward, he writes, a central unresolved issue. No, it's not really unresolved. But still, it's whether, he says, federal regulatory agencies will accept responsibility for their oversight failures. Come on. We know the answer. It's not just no, as my dad used to say. It's hell no. They'll blame you for it. Matter of fact, they've already got plans to release yet another bioweapon so that when people start dying from the last one, they'll be able to say, hey, it's because you didn't wear your mask. You didn't take your fifth or sixth or 27th booster. How stupid do they think people are? Answer, this is part of the point of the show today, really, really, matter of fact, stupid unto death. All right, the terminology used to define all of this, he says, and this subcategory of non-viral gene or polynucleotide delivery formulations can seem intimidating. So we're just going to focus on introducing the components. Now, he goes into a lot of detail. I'm going to skip over it. But he says, basically, don't be fooled. The nanites or the nanobots that you saw in Star Trek, The Next Generation, they don't exist. That's not what we're talking about here. Our technology is still crude compared to the Borg collective. But still, we are talking about really tiny things. Nanotechnology means something that's very, very small, on the order of 100 nanometers. So that's 100 times 10 to the ninth, well, 100 times 10 to the negative ninth meters, a 1/100 millionth of a millimeter or less. In other words, these are very small. These are even much smaller than the junctions of most of the chips in your semiconductors and so forth. In the natural world, he says there are lots of examples of structures that have nanometer dimensions, like proteins and so forth. Many technologies have developed using them for years, but it's only recently been possible to do it intentionally. And furthermore, you hear about self-assembling lipid nanoparticles used in this mRNA delivery technology that's employed by both BioNTech/Pfizer and Moderna. Well, are they actually nanotech? Well, technically, says Dr. Malone, they're not. These are terminologies that are applied to a wide range of particle sizes, maybe from 100 nanometers plus to as big as a micron, which is huge. That's even bigger than the junctions in most semiconductors nowadays. But once formulated, he notes, now this is key, folks, this is why I'm going through it, these particles have a tendency to clump. In other words, they form even larger aggregates that are often toxic. Well, that's part of the point, I think. But they're not functional for the point of delivering the mRNA product into your cells, which is why formulations developed at the University of British Columbia by Dr. Peter Cullis and his colleagues enable technical advances for this current generation of what he calls pseudo-mRNA vaccines. That includes adding PEG, polyethylene glycol, to reduce aggregation when it's being stored. In other words, they put a chemical in there to make it not clump until it's time to be in your body, when it can clump all at once, I guess. The problem, of course, as he'll mention to us later, is polyethylene glycol has a lot of people that are allergic to it. They're not going to tell you about that. They may mandate that you take it, and guess what? You might get really sick or die as a result. All right, here is where the rubber meets the road. There are several pages, and I'll kind of abbreviate them here. But what he says is, understand that these structures, these little biotech devices, things that they're making like mRNA, they have a charge. You can think of RNA, he says, as being like a long single-strand chain of pearls. And the string connecting each pearl is a chemical structure that has a negative charge. So you put this long string of things together with a negative charge, it has lots of negative charges. And that will attract lipids, which are positively charged, synthetic fats. So opposites attract. mRNA and the positively charged fats, when they're mixed in water-based solutions, they'll find each other. This is called electrostatic attraction. Remember, positive attracts negative. They come together. The result is a self-assembling particle. It sounds more high-tech than it is. I mean, literally all you're saying is you got some positive stuff, some negative stuff. They clump together. No real tricks are needed to make this happen. It's like a blob. Now, there's more detail here, and that's, of course, why he says details matter. These chemically synthesized LNPs work best for binding the RNA, then binding and fusing with cells. So this is kind of an art form in order to get this crap into your cells. That's the problem here. But he says guessing games are not a substitute for good, hard, long-term clinical safety and efficacy findings. That's especially the case when you're sticking this stuff into the bodies of billions of unique individuals. All right, so there's part one of a big problem. Part two, no matter what's done, after the formulation, the resulting inherently heterogeneous mixtures, All right. In other words, these are things that are sticking to a little vial. They're going to put it in a needle and then in a syringe and then inject it into your arm. These mixtures begin as a range of sizes of particles, and they change. They change a lot over time, particularly when storage conditions are varied. Now, that's an important fact, and as an engineer, this kind of really sticks out to me. I'm going to emphasize it a bit differently. He does. He says, still, things like chemical composition, purity, all of them make these products act very differently. This is because biologicals, proteins, but also things like nucleic acids, are typically large, so the way that they can fold and bend might have a substantial impact on their pharmaceutical activity. These are complex carbohydrates, long, complex structures, proteins. Matter of fact, in some cases, complex proteins and multiples of complex proteins. All of this bending, folding, and other properties are directly affected by the small details. Things like how they're manufactured, how they're purified, formulated, how they're stored, and how they're administered. Now, as an engineer, folks, who worked in a very different area, but I still am familiar with some of this terminology, this idea of uncontrolled variables really leapt off the page at me, or poorly controlled variables. In other words, you ask yourself, what kinds of things can the manufacturer control? Hopefully they can control their manufacturing process. Maybe they can't. That's up to whether they're any good or not, or whether they're even telling you the truth or not. Color me skeptical there. But when it comes to how they're stored, remember all this jazz about how they had to be kept super cooled? Remember how they have to be shipped, or maybe they have a limited shelf life, and maybe after they sit on the shelf for a while, they start to clump and do bad things? How do you know? The batch number, that seems to be primarily associated so that after it's been injected, you can find out how bad is my batch. All right. How they are administered too. Now, again, as an engineer, I would say these are variables that are poorly controlled. You got lots of times people that don't do the same thing twice, much less in 20 different labs or hospitals or with interns injecting folks with stuff, the way that they're stored. There is a lot of variability there. And guess what? Sounds like what he's saying is that can make a lot of difference in what's going on. Furthermore, they are combining new synthetically engineered nanochemicals that haven't been previously tested. We've already made a big deal about that. The FDA doesn't have a clue what's going on here. And they're combined with other chemicals that are known to the FDA, like polyethylene glycol or cholesterol, RNA biologicals. And a lot of these end up being relatively unpredictable and non-homogeneous self-assembling components. Huh? What's he saying? Well, essentially, they're injecting a lot of crap into people, and not only are there variables associated with it, they don't necessarily know all of the effects of one of them, much less combinations of them, much less in different peoples over a huge area and lots of different ethnic and biological variables. Here's the key, all right? These cationic lipid, in other words, positively charged lipids, that's a fat particle or similar, these cationically lipid, positively charged lipid particles based polynucleotide delivery products are, he says, now think about this, these are a very specialized subcategory of pharmaceuticals, and there are very few true experts in the world in this area. And he says it's unknown if there is any relevant expertise within the FDA because these pharmaceuticals have no natural analogs. In other words, they're messing with stuff that they don't really understand. But hey, who cares? The goal is to kill people, right? No, that's not what they're telling you. But if you've figured it out by now, score points for understanding the real goal doesn't have anything to do with whether or not there are experts. They know what the goal is, even if you don't. It's possible, writes Dr. Malone, that these positively charged, synthetically manufactured lipids, which do not appear to exist naturally, should... Now think about this and ponder the understatement here. They should be considered a novel biotechnology all by themselves. And just maybe, instead of mandating that they be injected into people who are going to then fly airplanes or drive cars into other cars, maybe there should have been independent safety and toxicological profiles based on their configurations in the regulatory process. Come on. All right. Chemistry 101, he says, yep, a lot of this we still don't really understand. Let's be honest about it. But still, what we do know is that these cationic lipids could be responsible for, oh, you can probably guess this, right? Vascular damage, strokes, other toxicities associated with adverse events that have been shown through various adverse event reporting databases. This even predates the Zyklon B injections. For example, there's published safety data that clearly state that these two lipids, one's called SM102, the other one's ALC0315, are not to be used in humans. They're not to be used in humans. Well, are they in the poison poke? Hey, guess what? He's going to get around to this. You don't know. They ain't going to tell you. He then goes on to describe some of the history. There was a bright grad student at UC Davis who had this idea that DNA, since it was negative, and these fat or liposome particles fused with cell membranes, that was one of the problems, how do you get it into the cell? Well, they were positive. What happens if you mix them together? Could the DNA get into cells during the fusion process? Aha! A whole new field of pharmacology was born. All right, now I'm going to skip over some of the details about cell membranes and water structures that look like gels in the vicinity of the cell. But he does say this, unless something punches or tears a hole or otherwise disrupts a cell membrane, large, highly charged polymers like this mRNA or DNA, they can't easily cross cell membranes. That's a good thing for a bunch of reasons. One, folks, it protects you from this stuff back until these clever destroyers of humanity. I was looking for a proper word there. Back until these clever SOBs decided, hey, we can fix, this process that was intended to protect the cell and stick what we want in there anyway. Aren't we clever? All right. The situation is even more challenging, says Dr. Malone, for those who want to introduce foreign polynucleotides into cells. This is called the delivery problem. Has to be addressed and solved for any non-viral gene therapy technology. The problem is, that you got to deliver this thing. You got to make a collapsed RNA or mRNA particle or DNA. You got to coat it with positively charged lipids. They're mixed with other lipids that then mix easily with cell membrane lipids. To work well enough, the particles have to be small enough, i.e. nano, so that the positive charge is strong enough to force them through the structured water around the cell so they can get close enough to do their dirty work. That's not how he put it. It's how I'll put it. And while the basic mechanism and formulation for all of this stuff is known, they now know how to make it happen. To this day, the technical details are lacking, including some of the most basic details. Now, this is really what he's been working up to, so pay attention to this. For example, the actual dose number of mRNA strands per injection is never provided by manufacturers or the FDA. Furthermore, you can't even estimate the molecular mass mathematically because neither the actual mRNA sequence nor its mass are specified in the manufacturer's package inserts. Huh? Now, it says pharmacists, they know they have to administer a 0.3 milliliter dose, but just exactly how much mRNA and LNP is in that amount of fluid. Just like so many other well-established regulatory norms were discarded at warp speed to be able to do this, the fundamental bioethical and clinical mandate for patient-informed consent prior to administration of a pharmaceutical, or procedure was arbitrarily and capriciously disbanded by both government regulators and the pharmaceutical industry sponsors in the name of public health emergency. In other words, folks, they want to kill people. They want to kill people fast, so the hell with the rules, the regulations, the testing, and everything else. We got a mission here, and guess what? It has nothing to do with protecting you or preventing the transmission, we know that, or making you anything except a little bioweapon spike protein factory. All right. And furthermore, the package labeling, essentially, as he points out here, tells you nothing that actually gives you any real information. The label lists glycols, sterols, and cholesterol, but amazingly, they never list the lipid nanotechnology or LNP configurations. It's kind of like describing a drug's structure as saying it contains carbon, oxygen, and hydrogen without ever even showing you the actual structure. Everybody seen those little diagrams with little C's and H's and O's in them with little lines and arrows connecting them? Yep, none of that. As a matter of fact, typically, manufacturers' package inserts for drugs contain a graphic of the chemical structure, even when they're widely known. He gives some examples. And in fact, there's a lawsuit, as you know. The FDA was going to originally take 75 years to release all this data. A judge ordered them to release 55,000 redacted pages every 30 days. Still, it's going to take 2 years till you know what's in it. And guess what? They're not going to release the important information till last, if at all, because you know what? If they're lying, how are you going to know? Answer, the FDA will protect us. Oh, come on, really? Are you kidding? You still believe that? This prolongs the delay, says Dr. Malone, of the most fundamental information needed by drug safety analysts, clinicians, and other scientists for modeling potential mechanisms for established safety signals. In other words, we don't even know what it looks like when you're getting ready to die. There's no good reason, he says, why Americans don't have full disclosure on the mRNA sequence, LNP configurations, and toxicity studies. Well, there is a good reason. Again, it's just not one at all that they want you to know, much less talk about. He talks about the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act, PREP Act, and the fact that when they short-circuited a lot of the stuff that was once called, you know, regulatory safety standards, one of the manufacturers, you can probably guess, acquired an unprecedented $100 billion profit in just 1 year. Many of, billions of bucks of which were directly from the mRNA shots, not counting other taxpayer-provided COVID-related relief and warp speed funding. Now, one of the ways they do this, they claim these are trade secrets. Still, lots of other FDA-approved products, even older ones like amoxicillin, prominently detail all of their agreements, ingredients within their official product labeling. So why are these so different? Answer, because there's a whole different agenda at play here. All right. To illustrate one clinically significant consequence of this failure to disclose, and I've already mentioned this one, now he says you got a number of patients that are suffering from anaphylactic shock. Sometimes they die because they have pre-existing allergies to PEG, that polyethylene glycol that's in here. They should have been told about it, but no. They're not only not told about it, they're in some cases mandated to take it or else. All right, LNPs and human safety and toxicity, the shots have never been standalone FDA tested. There have never been any required LNP safety or toxicology studies. And come on, I mean, it goes on and on and on. Here's the bottom line, and we've only got a few minutes left. He says there appears to be a regulatory vacuum here. Gee, do you think they're being excluded from guidance when it comes to safety? All right, let me just pause for a second and say let's cut to the chase here. The FDA, are they really concerned about your safety? Do we have any doubts about this? Remember when the EPA was supposed to protect the environment? Hardy har. What is the most recent example that they, too, couldn't give a damn about killing people? Well, how about this story, right? Berkey is suing them. These are the people that manufacture the big Berkey gravity water filters because the EPA, while they will allow, you know, poisons to be sprayed from the skies and they don't give a damn about what's being sprayed out of airplanes and all the crap that's falling down on farm fields and you name it, they want to regulate Berkey water filters as a pesticide because they have silver, which in fact kills germs in the filters. If you are still believing, in other words, that these regulatory agencies have any care, any real mandate at all about your safety, your health, no, it's not. It's worse than that. Okay, Dr. Malone says don't believe anything they tell you. No, understand that if their lips are moving, not only are they lying, they want you dead. What's happening? They're pushing these spike proteins, turning people's, and this is his, Dr. Malone's words, turning their own cells into manufacturing machines, compulsively replicating the toxic engineered SARS-CoV-2 spike protein at a potentially greater rate than what would be the case if they just had a regular old COVID infection. In other words, they're not only turning them into spike protein factories, they're mass production spike protein factories. And as of now, he says, we still don't have transparency on even the number of mRNA strands in a single injection or the variability lot to lot. Well, that's by design. And furthermore, the variability lot to lot is a feature. One of the things that I think has been really clearly demonstrated is some lots are a hell of a lot deadlier than others. Guess what? They target certain areas. Maybe they target certain voting blocks. And I don't doubt that they're doing a designed experiment to see exactly which things are most effective at killing which people and what other effects they can have on human biology. In other words, the more you understand this, folks, the more you realize just how incredibly evil what is going on here. He goes on to describe the primary adverse events and how many people have had heart attacks and other kinds of various things. Again, this part shouldn't surprise us at all. But what I want to point to is when we step back and ask ourselves the question, right, what can we do about it? Well, you can't stop the bioengineering of all this stuff that's intended to kill people. What we can do is we can come out. What we can do is also recognize, and I've got the studies and stories, and I mentioned this up front in the hour today, there are a lot of things like this that are being injected into or literally bioengineered into corn, soy, other crops. They're injecting them into pigs and beef and who knows what else. Answer, you don't know unless you know that at least you didn't see it done, and if you grew it yourself, unless they put it in the water, which they're certainly working to do, hopefully it's not in there. The only way you can be safe is to know who grew it, or trust who grew it, or grow it yourself. And in almost all of these things, right, the irony is, people talk about informed consent, and how they're putting this in the injection. Well, folks, it's not just the injection. That's the point of this long discussion today. They're putting it into a whole bunch of other things as well. They intend to kill as many people as they possibly can. I keep coming back to this. Part of the thing people are shocked about is they don't understand what Jeremiah said in chapter 16, that the human heart is not only desperately wicked, it's deceitful above all. Who can know it? Answer, you don't have to know it to recognize they intend to kill you. What does that mean? It's not just enough to come out. We have to begin to build communities that are independent so that we can begin to rely on one another. Because I guarantee you, you cannot trust those who have demonstrated by their fruit that they are jonesing to kill you and to kill as many other people as they possibly can. Don't trust them. There is one and only one force in the entire universe that we can literally trust with our lives and our immortal souls, and we should know his name. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.